Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Okay. All right. Hey, did we ever get any sound for the Shapirocon thing? Did that ever come our way? There were like 17 guys there filming that thing, and I never got any footage from it. Bunch of weasels. And they never let guys in rock bands be responsible for anything. Never going to get done. Was that guy from, that guy from Naked Violence was there filming it. So I know that we had, and he got all this footage of that guy groping me too, the IRS creepy sleazy guy. So there's probably all this video footage of me looking unnerved. There's some bald Alan Arkin looking bastard comes up behind me and starts grabbing me.
I wonder if Lars Larson is so lucky at his remotes.
Yeah. All right.
We love you, Lars!
Okay. In any event. All right, 3 minutes and 9 seconds after the hour 12, and this the month of January, the year of our Lord, 2003. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from the studio of Hot Talk at KOTK, along with Sarah Dillon, Matt Peterson, Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. It's Tuesday, 21st. What? 21st? 21st. Yeah. All right. So, if you were off yesterday, I hope you had a good holiday. And coming up later on, now, there's a bunch of stuff you may have missed that we did yesterday. So, coming up later on, we'll... So I got all these people who only heard the last few seconds of it. I got a bunch of emails. People heard the last 10 or 20 seconds of the song by this guy, The Low, that got sent to us. So we'll play that, I don't know, later on. We're going to have that guy come in and do like a cleaner version here. We'll put him in the studio on one of our obscenely overpriced microphones. Have him do a version of it here. Hot Talk Tonetti girl Dina is going to be in here later today. We'll talk to her about those Vegas photos of her being groped by Ron Jeremy. Like, if you were a woman and Ron Jeremy wanted to have sex with you, don't you think you'd just let him do it? Just because Ron Jeremy, you know what I mean? It's just, when are you going to have the chance to do that again? It's like having sex with Elvis in a perverse, unattractive sort of way. Well, anyway. So she'll become later on today. Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. Later on, we have the top five most influential singles of all time, as determined by British music magazine Q. Let me talk about, speaking of groping for a second, if you want to know what I'm talking about with this business of Mariah Carey obviously having had a boob job, go to rickemerson.com. There's a picture. Go to rickemerson.com. There's a, click on the thing that says, has Mariah Carey had a boob job? And you'll be magically beamed there. So look into that. There's something else I was going to say. Oh, we'll have a whole bunch about Joe Millionaire coming up later on as well. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. 503-250-1080, or 1-800-727-5955. Put your working class hands together for Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by Mega Health and Life Insurance Company.
Mega Health.
Do you need health insurance? Then call them at 1-800-290-4108. The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company has affordable health insurance for the self-employed. That's 1-800-290-4108. That's 1-800-290-4108. Top story, sad news. Hugo, the Oregon Zoo's oldest bull Asian elephant, has died of unknown causes. Zookeepers found Hugo on his side breathing heavily Saturday morning. Keepers and vets used a sling to get Hugo on his feet and started feeding him with antibiotics. Sling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus in 1983. He's 43 years old. He weighed about 10,000 pounds and 10 feet tall. The Oregon Zoo is the home of 6 Asian elephants, 4 females and 2 males. By the way, Portland has the dubious distinction of being the birthplace of more Asian elephants than any other city in the United States.
Can we acknowledge, though, that elephants are the most sympathetic of all zoo creatures?
I think so.
Of any animal you see in a zoo, elephants are the ones you... I mean, you know, I'm not some big tree-hugging animal rights guy, but zoos just depress me. I mean, I know that zoos are supposed to be happy and they're great places. They're learning expeditions for your children and whatnot. I tell you this, I've never gone to a zoo and not come out just feeling bummed out on the other side. I always pray for the animals to turn on their handlers. You know what I mean?
Especially the monkeys.
Seriously, the only reason it's like, and especially the primate cage, especially the reptile cage.
Just give them do their business.
Hey, I read something the other day that it's now illegal to declaw your cat. In Oregon. Is that true? Does that sound like something that's...
It's a bad move.
Something that we would do? Well, why? Unless you're going to release it. You're not going to go release it into the Ozarks, though. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, say you let it outdoors, yeah, and it runs across some other wild animal.
Gets its ass beat by some other, by a raccoon or something.
It's also illegal to leave a dog tied outside for a certain amount of time.
Because you don't want it to be set upon by other animals?
Well, that, and it just makes them nuts. I mean, yeah, if you were chained to a doghouse, you'd be crazy, too.
Seriously. And why is it always, you know, and those people, you can always tell a lot about a person by the way they treat their pet.
Right.
You know, when I was growing up, you know, girls always say, well, you can tell a lot about a man by the way he treats his mother. But you can totally tell about a person by the way they treat their pet. If they treat their pet badly, they're awful people and probably shouldn't be allowed to have children.
That's
so,
right.
Anyway, so zoos just depress me. Let's not talk about it.
Let's talk about donuts instead. A popular landmark on the I-5 will soon become a new hangout for donut fans. Krispy Kreme plans to open a shop in the same building that Waddles is in. They're just going to waddle right in there. The landlord, you thought Waddles owned that building. They don't. The landlord wanted to boost the rent. They said it was too much.
Wait, so Waddles is leaving?
Yeah. So they're going to take their sign and go elsewhere. I like that sign, don't you?
Waddles has been there forever, man. Yeah. Waddles is, how long has Waddles been there? I mean, it's been there at least 20 years, hasn't it?
Oh, that sign goes back to the 40s, it looks like.
I mean, I've never come through Portland. I mean, growing up in Kennewick, we would come to visit my hideous relatives in Portland and or Vancouver. We would always see the Waddles sign.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm turning into an old person. Can you hear how just right in front of you I'm turning into an old person? Well, that Waddles place has been there forever. You can't get rid of that. And, you know, 20 years from now, when it's been a Krispy Kreme for 20 years, I'm still going to be calling it Waddles. Because that's the sign of being, that's how you know you've become old. The absolute prima facie evidence that you become old is when you can no longer adapt to changing landmarks and you insist on referring to things by what they used to be.
The old Waddles place.
Exactly. That old, the old McKenzie Barn down there on 5th and Fruitland. You know, it's like so I'm still going to be calling it Waddles, you know, like 2040.
So the Waddles is looking for a new home. So they'll take their son and go elsewhere.
That's crap is what that is.
Well, black and white stripes are back in fashion, at least in Oregon jails. Some are saying the retro look is humiliating for prisoners. But guards and county officials...
Not like being in prison. That strikes me as the thing that's humiliating for prisoners, is the relentless imprisonment and sodomy.
Yeah. Anyway, county officials say the stripes are a valuable deterrent against escape. Stripes are being worn by prisoners in Clackamas and Washington counties, but the look has yet to catch on in Oregon State prisons. Suspected family slayer Edward Morris wore Baker City stripes when he was caught after a 2-week run for the law. People commented, "It looked pretty good in those."
Man, and nobody believed me. I told you that I saw that guy wearing that. Yeah. He was wearing those old Brother Where Art Thou things, and nobody believed me.
Nope. Stripes became popular starting about 10 years ago when road crews and garbage collectors started wearing orange jumpsuits similar to jail wear in Clackamas County. These stripes are only for high-risk offenders, so you got to be somebody to have those.
All right.
You know, they could get the state out of debt if they sold these prison clothes on the internet.
Seriously. Well, because
like the coroner's office.
Well, this is where all those. Well, that's a good point, because the L.A. coroner's office, they sell all this garb. They sell L.A. coroner, county coroner's hats and shirts, and I swear to God, they sell body bags. There's a whole online site where you can buy stuff in the L.A. county coroner's office. There's this guy, Brett or Brent. I'm embarrassed now because I can't remember whether his name is Brett or Brent, and I think it's Brent. Do you ever know that when there's somebody and you're supposed to know their name and then you don't? And I'm so bad with names. Man, those guys, let me tell you about the guys from Dry County Crooks for a minute. Man, I've met those guys like 700 times now, and I never, ever get their names right. Ever. It never happens. I only recently started getting their band right. I kept insisting that they were in Porn Store Janitor because I'm retarded.
I just remember one of them has pigtails and one of them has green hair.
Yeah, but it just throws me off. The hell was I talking about?
I don't know.
Brent. Anyway, so this guy Brent listens to the show. He's a coroner. He told me one time, that's right. I was listening to you the other day while I was cutting someone's skull open. But we were talking about the coroner wear, and apparently that's big with the kids. The kids are all with the autopsy clothing.
Time for the battle watch.
Here's your battle watch for Tuesday.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
Hey, we have a new ally. It's Italy? Yes, the company that brought the world Mussolini is ready to step back into the limelight. The Secretary of State noted how much we love everything Italian here.
The minister knows of the strong affection that exists in the United States for almost all things Italy, and especially driven by the very strong Italian-American community that we have here in the United States.
Is that code for something? Yeah. We love your pizza and organized crime.
Yes, Italian Foreign Minister Franco Frattini thanked Powell for inviting him for a coffee and muffins. It's the most he's eaten in quite some time.
Grazie molto, Colin. Io ringrazio molto il collega e amico Colin Powell per questa splendida accoglienza.
Well, Italy sent troops into Afghanistan.
Con i 1,000 alpini che sono partiti per l'Afghanistan ad una operazione che vedrà i nostri soldati.
Yes, 1,000 Alpine troops. And what about sending Italians to Afghanistan?
Abbiamo toccato tutti gli aspetti più delicati che riguardano le grandi aree di crisi.
We'll wait and see.
Ask him if Furio gets whacked.
But just remember, real Italians, not like the ones in America, are lovers and not fighters. Italy, by the way, is a country full of opera singers. So don't expect much from them. On the war on terrorism. Well, nobody likes more war more than the Fox News Network. Here's Shepard Smith just counting the hours before we get started.
Talk about this gulf that seems to exist, at least, between the French, the Germans on one side and the United States on the other, as we look forward to the possibility of a war with Iraq.
As we prepare for Sweeps Week, as we get our Chiron and slogans ready to go, what will they even call it? Because then we had Desert Shield, and then we had Desert Storm, and then we had Operation Golden Retriever, whatever the hell that was, and then we had Operation Enduring, I don't know, Ass Kick or something, or whatever the hell we were calling the war on terror. And then it was Infinite Jihad and Lethal Justice and Metal Gear Solid or whatever the hell we were calling our last thing. So what is the new one going to be called? I have no idea. So, but they're preparing there because it's going to be justice in the
strength through joy,
<It's> gonna... freedom through slavery, Arbeit macht frei. Okay,
that's today's battle watch.
There's your battle watch for Tuesday.
Go to see you tomorrow.
And a damn silly battle watch it is.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. We have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
Operation War is Peace. We have this. Subject line about Johnny Mathis. Now, if you weren't listening yesterday, there was all this unpleasantness about Johnny Mathis yesterday. Let's not revisit it. But, Rick, Johnny Mathis was, note I say was, black and gay, and now he's dead. So you're not going to get him on your show. Now, I was to understand he was on tour.
He is on tour. He is still alive.
What is he?
He is not dead. I was on his website.
The Bonnie and Clyde car? Just put him on a dolly and strap him down.
He's in Florida as we speak and coming to Anaheim at the end of the year.
Half the people in Florida are dead anyway. They just don't know it. Also, I'm old enough to have listened to his music growing up. It was known to be the music you men put on when you wanted to take a woman to bed. So women would know when Johnny's music came on, it was going to be seduction time. So more than being white music, it was going to bed music in the 60s.
Yep, you heard it in bachelor pads.
Great.
Guys wearing Hawaiian shirts.
I thought in bachelor pads you just listened to that, who's that guy, Esquivel? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
All right, never mind.
But you got Trace of Little Umbrellas in them.
This just says, great show, peace, Irene.
Right. Don't forget about the tiki lights.
Okay.
Let's talk about commercials in movie theaters, shall we? Commercials have become a feature presentation in theaters as moviegoers chop on popcorn, turn off their cell phones, and wait for the feature to begin. Why? Because they're blaming it on TiVo, which wipes out TV commercials, not giving advertisers time.
Go TiVo. Go TiVo.
Regal Cinemas plan to kick off a digitally formatted pre-show full of content and advertising.
Content? You mean it won't just be that stupid thing where the Coca-Cola bottles are standing there in place of the actors and you have to guess the movie?
This will be in select markets at the end of this month. The pre-show is slated to begin about 20 minutes before the advertised start time of movies.
Because that's exactly what we want. Here's a couple things. A, I encourage you to boo and turn your backs during the... It's like, remember that... Man, that freaky little animatronic girl that would come in and do the little pep, no smoking. Yep. That little, what was her name? Haley Eisenberg. You know what I'm talking about. The little freaky girl with the bizarre doll eyes that would come in and they would do the Old West thing where she would come on in and order a Pepsi and tell people not to smoke. And Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Everybody, it was playing at Regal Cinemas here. It might be before you moved here, but it was playing at Regal Cinemas for like a year and a half, and it was just one of those things that's kind of vaguely amusing the first time you see it, but it's like the 700th time you're made to. It's like those goddamn Fandango commercials. Stop it! Just stop it.
And there's never any variety. It's that same damn one every time.
With the fat guy with the chain,
Buddha guy
Buddha
like,
thing.
Ugh.
You know, anybody who laughs at that ought to be taken out back and put down like an old mule. You know what I mean? It's not funny. It was
Fandango
never funny.
Is fabulous, though.
Fandango's fabulous, but you know what? They could just say, hey, get tickets, don't have to wait in line. Go to Fandango. You don't need a wacky, zany commercial to try to sell that point to me.
So, but is there a service charge that goes with that?
It's like a buck, but I'm willing to pay. It's not to stand in line with goons, but... But during the Pepsi commercials that Regal was running with Haley Eisenberg, people actually started booing. I started being in theaters where people would boo, and about 2 weeks later, it was gone. So I encourage you to boo, to turn your backs, go loiter in the lobby, and don't buy anything. Do whatever you have to do. Let me also say this. When I am king, and we're going to make this a feature in the Rick Emerson Show one of these days. We are going to have a brand new feature coming up soon called When I Am King of This Whole Stinking Planet. Let me tell you right now, when I'm king, the newspaper is going to have to put the time in that the movie actually starts. Not the time that the previews start. Not the time that the commercials start to play. The television ads, the newspaper ads, they will have to tell you when the actual movie is going to begin. Let me also comment on it by saying this. You know, I'm paying $10 to see a movie. I went to see... Oh, how much is it now? It's like $8.50? How much is an adult? Is it $9?
Some places $9, yeah.
How much is an adult theater ticket? It's like
$9. $8.
$8. So, Laura and I went to see The 25th Hour this week, and we paid like $16. And that's if you don't want anything at the refreshment counter. Paying $16 to get in, which is, you know, the reason... that those ticket prices are so high is ostensibly that it's an advertising-free medium. They're not making any money on advertising. It's the same reason HBO can charge you, because they don't have any ads. They're charging your ass $16 at the door for two of you. It's like, you can either do that or you can have commercials. You can't do both. And so I am happy to say that I'm an early adopter of TiVo, and I'm proud to be part of something that is bringing down the conventional television and movie advertising structure from within.
But you're causing the new advertising space to open up in a theater near you.
Well, like they weren't going to do that anyway. That's the whole thing. They blame it on TiVo, but you and I both know it's just, you know.
Gone are the days of pastoral scenes and soft music.
Bend over and grease up so we can service the customer.
Well, let's talk about Heather Graham, who plays Sharona, a young actress who helps Ramu, Jimmy Mystery. A dance teacher from India.
I didn't understand anything of what you just said.
I'll read it again. I don't either. Heather Graham plays Sharona, a young actress who helps Ramu, who's Jimmy Mystery, a dance teacher from India who dreams of stardom. It's going to be at a movie, after all the commercials.
Okay.
When he stands up for the wise old guru using Sharona's wisdom passion, things heat up in the guru.
I have no idea what you are talking about.
Okay, there's a new movie coming out called The Guru with Johnny Mystery in it. Heather Graham is the co-star.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Matt Peterson.
Right. Well, that was a lead-in. Heather explains his story, since this doesn't do it very well, and how Sharona and Ramu meet.
Marissa Tomei plays this heiress, and she's sort of very extremely wealthy, kind of opens the door to Jimmy Mystery's character Ramu, to the high society and all these interesting people in New York, and they sort of have an affair, and also he's lying to me because he's not telling me that he's really using my sort of wisdom for his own like financial gain.
I
think he just wants to be a porno actor. Relationship is based on this lie that he told me.
Jesus Christ.
Why don't they just go straight to video with this?
I don't know.
Why don't we sit there and watch 2 hours of commercials?
Why do they even release movies like this? Oh, God.
No, I saw the preview for it over the weekend. It looks horrible.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sort of Kangaroo Jack, and that thing opened at number one. What kind of a world are we living in? It is not a world of men machine. We are living in where Kangaroo Jack opens at number one. Seriously, that just makes me want to... I can't even think of something hideous enough that I want to do to myself after Kangaroo Jack opens at number one. God.
Heather, tell us about the musical numbers in the film.
It's great. There's a lot of musical numbers in it, which is really fun.
Yeah,
I love musicals. And so I got to be in an Indian dance sequence, which is like a Hindu movie, a Bollywood movie. And I sang in Hindu and got to do sort of like little dance movements they do in Indian Bollywood movies. That was really fun.
Glad you enjoyed it. Best of luck on the film.
I have nothing to say there. I have nothing to contribute to that. Okay, we're just going to hit the reset button here and pretend that whole last segment never happened. Jesus, God. All right. More email coming up, as well as the top five most influential singles of all time is determined by Q Magazine. Jolie from the front desk, Dean of the 1080 Girl is going to be here. Talk about meeting Ron Jeremy and Tone Loke. Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero, and CNN Radio's Ed McCarthy. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-250-1080. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
Hey, Kristen really nailed it here. We should go do a big show to save Waddles. We should go do some kind of dance marathon to save Waddles Eatery or whatever.
Isn't
the hell
it already
is.
Gone though?
No, I think Krispy Kreme is coming in. I think, but Waddles is local color. You know what I mean? Nobody
cares.
Did
you ever eat there before?
I ate there when I was a kid. I haven't been there a long time, but I used to eat there all the time as a kid because we would go from... It's on the way to Washington, isn't it? Yeah, so when we were coming to visit my relatives in either Portland or Vancouver, we would always stop at Waddles. And I thought it was the coolest place when you were a kid because there's a big sign outside.
The big
there's
clock.
A big clock and everything. And stuff like that is just fascinating when you're young and retarded. So, all right, here's Sarah with the traffic.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And on the point, I speak for everyone, I think, here when I say that from now on we should name all our military operations after classic video games. Operation Defender, and then Operation Defender then becomes Operation Berserker. Come on, Operation Combat. What are you talking about?
Operation Battle Zone.
Come on, man. That's great stuff. I mean, that's funny. Operation Gauntlet.
You know, how new can we go?
And Operation Gauntlet would be like, that would be where there's the coalition. That would be like us and France and Britain and Spain coming to beat your ass. We, of course, would be the Thor figure. Britain would be the wizard figure. And then Spain would probably be the Valkyrie.
Okay. How new can we go on names?
What do you mean?
You mean like Operation Metal Gear Solid?
Operation Mortal Kombat.
Hey, now that's good. That's good. Do you remember that ad campaign back in the... And how sad is it that back in the day is now like 1991? 1991 is now old school. Do you remember when they were... When Mortal Kombat... I guess it was like 94. When Mortal Kombat came out on the home system and it was Mortal Monday. And there were just all those ads. Mortal Monday! You know... Okay, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN Radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. How are you, Ed?
Hey, Rick, how you doing today?
I'm doing very, very well. So this business of Iraq, it just continues to grind on. First of all, let me just make this observation, that aren't we going on about the 7th or 8th month where Iraq is, quote, running out of time?
Yeah, well, it's of course, naturally, it's all contingent with the inspections and all of that, but, you know, you're going to hear a lot of this, and who knows how much longer this is going to go on. I mean, you know, you hear these magic dates, and, you know, you don't know if that's going to be the case or what as to when we're going to do something over there.
Now, I know you guys had some coverage with the former United States Ambassador to the United Nations.
Yeah, I just absolutely, you know, you guys are getting the info first, because I just finished the interview with him. And former U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Andrew Young, was just over here to do an interview with me. And, you know, he's on the side of, you know, go after Iraq because it's necessary. He's lately been one of these voices that's been a little bit different than some of the other political figures. But anyway, he says that, you know, the U.S. has been blamed for the situation. And since 73, Saddam Hussein's been a threat. the guy who's has problems and, you know, doesn't want to maintain his own territory with illusions of grandeur. And he says the UN really does realize that this has to be dealt with now. But I guess we're going to go through a lot of the discussions, and of course, naturally, Monday will be the big date as far as the weapons inspections go. So we'll find out more then.
And everybody talks about this, about 27th being the drop dead date on this. And in what does that mean timeline wise? Okay, so Monday comes, we all wake up Monday morning. What happens? What actually technically happens Monday?
Well, I mean, nothing's going to happen really Monday. At least I wouldn't go on the limb and say that. But, you know, I think it would be the timeline that would set the wheels in motion for some kind of an attack in Baghdad, Iraq.
Is there some sort of a sense that, you know, the UN has so many fingers in this pie, but is this conventional wisdom sort of a sense that in the end it doesn't really matter what the UN says? I mean, is the U.S. just sort of consulting the UN on this as just a formality?
No, if you talk to Andrew Young, I think he makes perfectly good sense on this thing. He was talking about the fact that a lot of these countries don't seem really interested at first. They've got their own political agendas, but when it comes right down to it, they're going to, you know, side with the United States on this, and that's his prediction. He says basically it's a lot of negotiation, a lot of going behind the scenes. And you have to make a lot of these nations feel as though they're you know, part of the whole scheme of things, that they're really in control of the situation.
All right, CNN Radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Thanks, Ed. We appreciate it. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. Rick, if we're in it with the French, would it be Operation Frogger? Ba-da-do-patch. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
So let's talk about last week's big lies, shall we? That university professor accused of lying to federal agents about the whereabouts of 30 vials of plague has been released from jail after posting $100,000 bond. He's Dr. Thomas Butler, charged with making a false statement to a federal agent, an incident that sparked a bioterrorism scare all over the country. Baker, who is internationally renowned for his plague research, was being held without bond since being arrested last Wednesday after admitting, yes, he accidentally destroyed the 30 vials. According to documents, he initially said they were missing. Among the conditions of the bond, Butler must surrender his passport, abide by a curfew, and not travel outside of Lubbock County, Texas. Oh, no. Texas Tech University has placed Butler on paid leave and changed the locks in his laboratory, blocked him from computer access, and barred him from campus.
You know what that is? It's totally like when you break your mom's favorite lamp, and instead of, like, gluing it back together, you just chuck the whole thing in the dump and pretend there was never a lamp there. What happened to my lamp? I don't remember a lamp. I don't know what you're talking about. Let's go to Lake Oswego. This is a first-time caller.
Yes.
Kristen, what's up?
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What do you got, sister?
Well, I'm wondering, you know, I love the program, and I like you guys a whole lot.
But?
Well, I think you guys are having to work too hard.
I've been saying that for years, but nobody listens to me.
I think there's got to be a way to bring the listeners into the program a little bit more. I'm thinking that the...
If you want a job, Kristen, just say it. Don't post it around.
No.
Ask me for money.
I think it'd be a lot... It would be a lot more interesting if there was more audience
participation. Oh, so I'm dull.
And
so
maybe getting a topic going or something. I mean, the news is only so interesting.
How about Texas?
So I'm boring. So that I have no entertainment value.
I love
value.
You guys. I do, but I think you're having to work 100 times harder than you have to.
Do you think that more audience participation includes lingerie?
Yeah, I was going to say, are you offering to come?
Need a model? I model lingerie.
Really?
I do.
You're lying.
I know, actually, I do, for May Company and Fred Meyer.
What celebrity would you say you most resemble?
Probably a little older Brooke Shields.
Damn, man. Matt, you know, I've been saying for the longest time we need more audience participation, you dick.
I'm with you on that.
Shoot down my ideas.
We should do tours of the studio starting today with Kristen.
A tour of the studio? What would it
be?
There's one corner.
I'd be more than happy to accommodate you. But
yeah, baby.
You know, I'd be interested to hear what other people have to say about it.
How many women buy their lingerie at Fred Meyer? I've never... Hey, don't disrespect Kristen.
Oh,
she's
offering
to come down.
They've got a pretty good line there. They've got Bali and you know, they've got some of the newer, hotter names in lingerie, actually.
So you think that would make the program less blindingly dull?
The program isn't dull at all, and I'm not going to stop listening. I just think it would make it easier on you guys and maybe just a little more interesting to have more callers.
Listen to how
we suck less with help from the audience.
Listen to how she disguises the insult. Listen to how she wraps the insult in a candy coating of compliment.
I'm not being insulting.
You guys work too hard. Plus, it would be interesting.
My unsolicited opinion here.
Yeah, all right. Well,
I love you guys, and I'll listen regardless. I'd be interested to hear what anybody else might think as well. I don't know.
Well, they're not going to be wearing lingerie, so we're not going to listen to them. But you're welcome to come down and take the tour of the studio.
You just let me know if I can help.
Well, Matt, are we in agreement that Kristen can help us?
I think there's myriad ways that she could help us.
Yeah, baby.
I'll be in touch.
All right, that's what I like to hear. All right, there you go. There's Kristen. You guys wouldn't have to work so hard, and then the show wouldn't suck. let's see, in Southeast Portland, Scott, you're a full-time listener.
Hey, Rick.
I like how she's clamoring for more audience participation on the show as she's on the air on the show talking. Anyway, go ahead.
Well,
what do you got?
Hey, I'm more than happy to ask you for a job and money if that's what, if that's what audience participation comes down to.
Yeah, there's no money involved in that, really.
And you don't have breasts, so.
Well, hey, sorry about that.
Even if you do, there's no money.
I was just going to say, they should name the military operations after 70s classic rock bands. I mean, check it out. Operation Grand Funk Railroad, man.
Dude, that's so great. Well, Operation Triumph, see? That'd be good.
Yes, I forgot all about them. Operation Triumph.
Yeah.
Operation TNT.
Operation Molly Hatchet.
Operation Kicks. I mean, we could go on this for days,
man. Dude, I'm totally with you on that. That's the best ever. Excellent. That's what I'm talking about. That's Scott in Southeast Portland. Man, come on. What do you want? Radio doesn't get funnier than that. Right there, that's it. Bottle that and seal that. Bronze it. Put it on your mantle. Things don't get funnier than that. All right. Here's Tim Riley in the KTK Newsroom.
A Northwest Airlines pilot is under arrest in New York City after authorities allegedly found a loaded handgun in his carry-on luggage. They found the gun as the pilot was trying to board a flight for Detroit. Well, I guess you would need it if you're going there. He's scheduled to be, he was scheduled to be the co-pilot. Robert Donaldson is charged with 3 counts of criminal possession of a weapon. He could face 15 years in the Hooskow. He has a permit to carry the gun in Michigan, though. Authorities say he was walking through a terminal used for luggage screening when officials discovered the semi-automatic handgun in his carry-on. A spokesman for the airline says officials are cooperating with federal and local authorities.
All right. Hey, Operation, this is especially appropriate depending on where we attack, Operation Black Sabbath. Come on! That's the best damn operation name you're ever going to hear. All right. We got an interesting Osama email we'll get to in a minute, as well as some F. Matt stuff. Later on, we got the top 5 most influential singles of all time as determined by Q Magazine. Jolie from the front desk, Hot Talk to Nettie Girl, Dina, and Clyde Lewis. Stay there. We'll be back. Here's AC/DC.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Okay, here we have some of the least effective video game names for an American military operation. Operation Cruisin' USA. Operation Mario Party 4. Operation Dance Dance Revolution. Operation Paperboy. Now, that one would work. Picture this. Okay. As the United States announces war in Iraq, Operation Paperboy delivering the bad news. Come on. That's good.
You can sell it with that final part of the line.
Yeah. Rick, it just occurred to me you haven't had an Osama watch lately. Is this because he's completely outfoxed good old George? Is George W. going after Saddam because he has to get someone? Why are we letting him do this Iraq thing when he can't even take care of Osama? Inquiring minds want to know. That's from Bob. Now, good point. I never thought about that, but that's completely true.
Operation Skate or Die.
Completely. Skate or Die was cool, man. Skate or Die was right up there with that thing. Remember that game, 720 Degrees? Was the other skating game had that weird circular joystick? Or was that Skate or Die that had the circular joystick?
That was Skate or Die. It was kind of like, it was at an angle, so it felt funny where you were. That was standard.
Yeah, okay. Here's Tim Riley in the KTK Newsroom.
Well, let's see what's on TV tonight. It's back. American Idol, the season premiere. Hopefuls audition before judges Paula Abdul, Simon Crowell, and Randy Jackson. Paula Abdul talks about what makes a person successful.
You know, I think people who succeed, they either are one extreme or the other. They're either so mysterious and so untouchable that gives them a persona of, you know, that intrigue and that mystery, or it's the other way. It's where you're accessible and people feel that they know you.
What is she talking about? What makes a person successful?
I fall more into that category. I totally understand Will Smith's success.
What?
What?
No, she's telling us about that new movie, The Guru. Paula, tell us about what it's like being a judge and relive your days as a dancer slash singer.
It's so different for me as a judge. You know,
I can be as fat as I want and no one cares.
Been in that fat, fragile, vulnerable position.
Is she eating?
Week after week.
I think so.
As these kids. I live there.
That's so funny.
She's chewing on gum or sucking on a lollipop or something.
No, I just think you're rapping.
I'm getting this from their exhilaration because I feel like it's deja vu experiencing it all over again.
All right. Do you remember that the video for Rush Rush where they had to stretch her out? I'm sorry, they had to digitally elongate her image. Hey, have you seen the cover of, it's not GQ, I think GQ's gone, isn't it? Some men's magazine this month, though, Kate Winslet's on the cover looking all hot. She's got like this bustier thing on and this, I don't know what you call it, but it's like a bustier panty thing all in one. Anyway, but she looks all hot, and then it was revealed by the magazine that the magazine digitally slimmed her waist, made her legs longer, and raised her cheekbones. Because it's so hard to make her look hot, right? Because it takes so much work to make Kate Winslet look hot. And so the magazine went through all this work to make her look hot, which she already does. It's not like she's... Man, do you remember Paula Abdul performing at the Emmys or the VMAs or whatever that was in like 91, 92? And she, big old flab coming out everywhere. It's all bad.
Now let's see what else is on tonight. Biography, Jane Seymour, Hollywood's English Rose.
Okay. I thought Diana was the English Rose.
Well, she's dead. She's the new one.
Yeah, okay.
And she doesn't, you know, go in cars too well. She's always in horse and buggy. See, what else do we have? Drive Me Crazy with Melissa Joan Hart.
Featuring the Britney Spears song of the same name.
Is it? Die Hard with a Vengeance.
The Donnas are also in that movie.
In Drive Me Crazy? What are the Donnas doing in that
They're
movie?
The electrocutes in that... Oh, God.
Are they a villain band? I've never seen it.
No, they play at the end in some dance that she was planning throughout the movie.
Well, it's on the family channel.
The Donnas. I just don't know if you... I'm so conflicted about the Donnas.
Yeah, let's see what's out for the kids tonight. DFX, Interactive Hip-Hop Party. It's on MTV. Then Clone High. I don't know what they're encouraging here, but it's on late. It's on MTV this evening.
All right. We got this, Rick. Let's see. This is, let's see. I was dragging my sorry ass from bed at the usual but far from friendly 3:45 a.m. And much to my dismay, all the morning programming was snoring reruns that were recent enough that even my bong resin compacted memory could remember. So in closing to my rambling, thank you for having a live show yesterday to close my weary day in the truck delivering produce. F. Matt with a 20-pound buttercorn squash and keep up the good work.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Okay.
Well, it's a brave man who tells Madonna what to do, but somebody has drawn the short straw. Record bosses at Warner Brothers have asked her to recut a number of tracks on the new album. And it looks as if, on this occasion, she's been forced to obey orders. We're told the main problem is that her new sound is electro-pop, and the bosses feel it's too over-the-top.
Weren't we just saying this the other day, that she's on the edge of becoming a big has-been?
Yeah. One source says Madonna feels that she's delivered her best album yet.
Well, they always say that. The band's always, our new album is our best album ever. The variant on that phrase is, this is just like our first album all over again. That's what they always say, one of those two phrases.
She used far too many electronic synthesizers on her voice, and it morphed a lot of her vocals to sound like a robot. There is even a 12-minute long track.
Because that's what we want to hear from Madonna, is like a lot of long, you know, huge epics. Let's see, Michael in Portland here on Hot Talk to KOTK. What's up?
F. Matt with an over-the-top electro-pop oscillating joystick. He's wrong.
F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Excellent.
He's wrong. It was 720 that had the angled joystick.
Ah-ha, you bet.
But it did say skate or die when you ran out of time to find an event and then the bees came and got you.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, okay. See, I thought that's what it was.
Okay, no, but skate or die was a Nintendo game.
Okay, yeah, because if you stopped skating or if you were out of time, because you had to get to the skate park.
Skate or die.
Yeah, you had to get to the skate park. Exactly. All right.
I always thought that was skate or die.
Ah, but see, Michael came on and he took you to school,
He really did.
Big pimpin'.
All right, there you go.
Big pimpin'. That's Mike there, baby.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right, speaking of big pimpin', don't let me forget to, we'll play that, the Radio Gangsta song here in a... You're in a skosh. Do we have something?
Something for the whole family here. A Russian man who murdered his friend in a drunken argument and then minced and flavored his body for a meal has been jailed for 12 years.
Well, I would hope so.
Yevgeny Ustinov stabbed his victim through the heart in the central Russian town of Sevatov. He cut up his body, wrapped it in bay leaves, and fed it through a mincer. These culinary preparations were done only with one aim, to eat the victim, said the prosecutor, Natasha Ribanova. It is not clear whether the man ate his friend before he was arrested.
Huh? No, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I have nothing. Bay leaves. I thought
that's
it was
a lovely flavor.
Oregano and thyme. All right, well, whatever. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. Coming up, we're going to be talking about Joe Millionaire. Dean of the 1080 Girl is going to be here as well. Talk about her trip to Vegas. Clyde Lewis with News of Ground Zero. Top five most influential songs of all time. Also, Jolie from the front desk. Don't go anywhere. It's LL Cool J. We'll be back. The glory days with Bruce Springsteen. I'm not a